Hey, it's Tony and Melissa. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast.
Here are some of the best parts from today's show. Hope you'll subscribe, share, and like us.
WICC Bridgeport, WEPE HD2 Westport, WPLR HD2 New Haven. Locally owned by Connoisseur Media, Southern Connecticut's news and information leader, WICC 600.
Our top news story this morning, Fotis Doulos has died, according to his attorney, Norm Pattis. So now where do we go with the case of Jennifer Doulos and, of course, the trial, of course, the pending conviction that could have come for Fotis Doulos. But now he's out of the picture. So, of course, for our legal expertise, we go to Bill Bloss, who's with Koskoff. Koskoff and Beter has nothing to do with this case directly, but he has been our legal expert throughout this whole process. Good to see you again, Bill. Twice in 1 week. My gosh.
Well, busy week.
It has been very busy. And we have a few questions for you. First of all, where can we possibly go? You now have the main suspect who was accused of killing and kidnapping Jennifer Doulos out of the picture. So where do we go from here? Is there justice for Jennifer?
Well, it's quite clear what's going to happen to the criminal case against Mr. Doulos, and that is the case is going to be dismissed. The criminal courts are they lose jurisdiction when the defendant dies. There is very little there's no question that the case is going to be dismissed as soon as there's a certified copy of the medical examiner certificate.
And what about his lawyer saying, well, just because he's dead, this isn't going to change a thing. We're going to forge ahead and we're going to clear his name. I want this case to still go to trial.
I've never heard of that.
Well, there's a reason you've never heard of that, because it doesn't happen.
Okay.
The thought that a criminal court can exercise jurisdiction, can almost be a mock trial or a moot court, is nonsense. There is no chance. Zero. You've known me how many years?
Yeah.
10,
sure.
15 years.
Yeah, at least.
I generally don't speak in categorical terms.
Mm-hmm.
I'm speaking in categorical terms today. There is not going to be a moot court or a mock trial in the criminal court relating to a person who is deceased. Mm-hmm. The case will be dismissed.
Now, with it being dismissed, now what? That's it? It's stricken from the record? What happens now?
Well, it's not that it never happened. There's still going to be a file. There's going to be, and actually, interestingly, under Connecticut law, because of the dismissal, the public access to the file is going to be very limited under the erasure statute. But that's the end of it as to the criminal case. That's the end of the criminal case as to Mr. Doulos. Now, there are some things, there are a couple of other things that could happen. One is there's obviously the two criminal cases pending against Michelle Traconis and Mawinney, the lawyer. Those still are on the docket. Those mm-hmm. are going to go forward. What's going to happen to those? Hard to say. It certainly changes the dynamic of those cases, but it doesn't mean they go away.
Well, and I would think, Bill, it depends if they have more information. So, like, we heard about this alleged suicide note that was left in the car, but he's, you know, according to these reports, he is proclaiming his innocence in the whole case and everything. So clearly he didn't leave anything in there as far as we know about where Jennifer could be or how she died or anything like that. So if, let's say, Michelle Traconis or the other lawyer, if they do have that information, could they kind of use that as leeway maybe to have a lesser sentence?
Sure, it's quite possible. I think in fairly short order, the state's attorney is going to reach out to Andy Bowman, Traconis' lawyer, and Mawinney's lawyer and say, look, this is your chance. I'm going to give you 48 hours to sit down and tell me what's going on. The one thing I think is quite likely to happen, there's somebody who knows something more.
Mm-hmm.
And now with Mr. Doulos off, deceased, the anybody who was afraid maybe of or wanted to protect him or didn't want to get him in trouble or that issue is gone now. So I think it's highly likely that there is going to be somebody that comes forward with some other information. Another thing that might happen, by the way, is the estate of Jennifer Doulos might sue the estate of Fotis Doulos. He may not have any assets, and so it may not be worth it. But it's possible there could be a wrongful death case that arises out of this after the estate, after there's an estate appointed for Mr. Doulos. I should say, by the way, that's the next step. Mr. Pattis filing a motion yesterday on behalf of the estate of Fotis Doulos is an absolute nullity. There is no estate of Fotis Doulos until the Farmington Probate Court says there's one. Then somebody is going to be appointed as the executor, assuming he had a will of the estate. That person is going to be the one to retain counsel. That person is going to be the one to decide if the attorney-client privilege is waived. That person is going to be the one to decide what's going forward, not an attorney on behalf of a deceased client. you don't have a client anymore.
Mm.
This case just gets more and more complicated as the days wear on.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, we're talking with Bill Bloss from Koskoff and Beter, talking a little bit about what's going on with the Fotis Doulos case. But Bill has nothing to do with the case. He's just kind of giving us his opinion on what's going on.
Yeah, he's our legal expert. And I think my last thing that I don't know if you're able to speak on this, Bill, but I know Tony and I think this whole process, our biggest concern were the five children. Now, we know that Jennifer's mom had temporary custody. So with Fotis Doulos now out of the picture, and they were kind of looking for who was going to get custody of those kids, do they automatically stay with the grandmother? What happens to those kids?
Not automatically, but I think that's highly likely. The family court judges are going to be very sensitive about the well-being of these children. And assuming that the situation has been stable, assuming as stable as it can be under the circumstances, assuming that the grandmother's been providing a reasonably a good home, highly likely that that's going to continue status quo.
Well, they're not going to want to upset the children all over again as well. I mean, if they're happy there with the grandmother, if everything is good, they're going to want to keep everything status quo.
Correct. That would be my strong expectation that would continue.
And, you know, Bill, the best thing that has come out of this whole thing, if there is a good thing, is that his organs are going to be harvested and given to people who need them. He's actually going to save lives if it goes through the way it's supposed to, right?
Well, I'm a strong believer in organ donation. I've got it on my driver's license. I think everybody should do that. Hopefully it never is needed. But on the other hand, if something happens, boy, I'd certainly want to take that opportunity and try to help.
Sure, yeah. Absolutely. Bill, we thank you so much for taking a few minutes here. We know you're a busy guy. And again, I'm going to put you on the spot. We're going to call on you anytime we need you.
Happy to help.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you. Bill Bloss, Koskoff and Beter here on WICC 600.
This is WICC 600, Greater Bridgeport's hometown news and information station.
At 8:30, one of our top stories this morning, hoping to get a little more insight on this. I'm Alyssa Sheketoff. We are talking about tolls. Of course, I know we have tackled this so many times, but we had a big development yesterday, and we want to go into that today with the most knowledge we possibly can. So for that, we have Senator Tony Wong joining us live, talking to us about a public hearing that is set for today to tackle what I think, Tony, is the supposed truck-only tolls plan. Am I on the money here? What are we expecting today?
Well, there is a public hearing today on transportation, and I love the way you phrased it, a supposed truck-only toll, because that's what the bill has raised so many questions on. The bill was released late on a Wednesday afternoon for public review, and in the time that we've had to be able to fully vet it and evaluate it, it's 32 pages, and what it tells you is not a lot. But then it also raises a lot of alarming omissions and questions that gets raised. I think the first thing ultimately is the fact that we're talking about, you know, transportation, infrastructure improvement, particularly down in Fairfield County, where rail transport is such an important part for commuter going to business and quality of life, and that it's been bandied around so many times in the toll and infrastructure transportation debate. What's stunning is in this bill, the bill that's in writing that is going to be debated and put into effect, there is no mention of rail system infrastructure improvement. That was stunning to me as a Fairfield County legislator who counts on the rail as being an integral part of a solution for a better quality of life, better for business. This bill that we're debating today, after a year plus of review, this current version has no allocation, no specific written language to address the commuter rail line for Fairfield County.
You're talking Metro North, right? You're talking Metro North.
Absolutely. Metro North.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And so that is one big, huge omission that seemed like a unacceptable term for me. The other part is the fact that there is no real clarification on what projects. You know, we have always talked about certain set projects in the governor's 2030 proposal. Well, the fact is this bill doesn't prioritize or illuminate which projects are being undertaken. It's just we're going to put in tolls, we're going to get revenue, and we'll figure it out. That's equally troubling. But the third part for me is this. It is not about just tolls and putting gantries up. There's no mention for quality of life considerations. For example, we talked about Newtown and Southbury bringing up resolutions that a toll gantry could impact their local roads, quality of life, public safety, business concerns about density of leakage traffic. There is no consideration for our local communities that are impacted. And there's going to be three tolls in southwestern Connecticut, Fairfield County alone. And there's no consideration for any of those communities for public safety, congestion, and business concerns. And you know what? What's not written down as well, Melissa, is this. We only cite 12 gantries, but there is no limit on how many more they can add. Isn't that remarkable?
That is. And the other part of it is that there's no guarantee that by the time Ned Lamont either stays or goes in office, that won't turn into including cars or vehicles. Right now, trucks only, fine. But who's to say that won't then turn into trucks? But I think there's something that Tony and I were kind of talking about in the break as well. Tony, what did you want to ask?
Well, Tony, it seems that Democrats on one side, Republicans on the other side, that's the way it's always been. But do you think there's ever going to be middle ground on this subject?
Oh, yeah, Tony, and I'm glad you asked that question, because it isn't a Democrat versus Republican debate as people are trying to frame it. Because, Tony, the House is overwhelmingly Democrat majority. The Senate is overwhelmingly Democrat majority. If it was truly a Democrat-Republican issue, this toll bill would have been passed a year ago.
That's true. Yeah.
It is really a fundamental problem that people, Democrats, within their caucus in the Senate and the House, that are listening to the concerns of the people that they represent, who says, I can't support this bill. So if it was truly up to Republicans, we have no say in this in some ways. It is the Democrats within their caucus that are concerned and do not trust that it is going to be truck only, that it is going to be sufficient funds, or more importantly, be able to protect the community and the residents who have spoken out against it. So this Democrat-Republican play doesn't make any sense when you really vet it out. It really is people, as I said before, representing the interest, whether it's for the good intention of good government or for their political well-being, that they're not supporting it. It's a Democrat's internal fight.
Right.
Voting for tolls.
Yeah, and I think we were kind of talking about that a little bit before coming into this segment was, you know, it just without having numbers in front of us, at least from our perspective, I mean, it looks like a lot of people, just residents in general across the state, have been saying that they don't want tolls in any way, shape or form. And we know that, you know, Connecticut certainly is split, but we have, you know, our fair share of Democrats for sure. So, again, I can also attest to the fact that it seems like if lawmakers are listening to, you know, their towns and cities that they represent, it probably is coming from the people, which is why it hasn't gone any further. Just before we let you go, Tony, I just had a quick question. When is this the public hearing happening today? Where is it? And I know we'll kind of tackle it more on Monday, sort of the aftermath. But what are the details for today?
Well, it is a public hearing in the Transportation Committee to review this draft. And there are going to be just loads of questions about this in regards to the implication, what is not written, what is intended in this. It's at 1:00. People can submit testimony online, and they can actually go to my site. I've actually linked it with details for people to submit their opinions, pro and con. And they can go visit Senator Huang, HWANG.com, and we'll have a direct link and all the details for people to submit their viewpoint. I welcome both points of view, but ultimately, Tony and Melissa, it's really important for people to offer their input. The positive thing that I offer in this is they were trying, the leadership and the governor was trying to jam a special session vote on Monday and Tuesday. As a result of the feedback and the outpouring of people's input, they have canceled that special session because we require more input. So that's a positive in the direction of doing the right thing. for the best long-term interest of the people of the state.
Tony, we thank you for taking the time. And you know, it's a subject that affects us all. Please keep us informed. We're going to talk to you Monday morning. Hopefully you'll have more information for us.
A look back at the most significant event today in history. Well, according to Tony and Melissa, WICC 600.
Okay, 80 years ago, 1940, the first Social Security check was issued to one Ida Mae Fuller in Vermont. The check was for $22.54.
Yes. Can you imagine?
And I think her Social Security number was 1. I think.
Sure,
yeah,
sure, right?
Be, right? Yeah, sure.
Right? Oh,
sure.
Now we know.
Yeah, sure, there you go. This, of course, the worst time in American history. 155 years ago in 1865, we finally got it right. The 13th Amendment to the United States Constitution abolished slavery in America. It was ratified on December 6, 1865, and it reads, neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except for a punishment for crime whereof the party shall be duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I mean, it was just a terrible time in American history. And 155 years later, some people still don't get it. Kanye West, of all people, he just didn't understand.
No.
When you hear about slavery for 400 years, for 400 years, that sounds like a choice. Like, you was there for 400 years and it's all of y'all? You know, like, it's like we're mentally in prison. I like the word prison because slavery goes too direct to the idea of blacks. It's like slavery, Holocaust Jews, slavery is blacks.
Oh, Kanye.
Stupid thing to say. And you know what? I mean, to say that it's a choice. You know why those poor people couldn't go anywhere?
Right.
I'm just going to put it simply. Guns. Whips. Chains. Bloodhounds.
That's what was known. I mean, that was the precedent that was set.
Right. Right. And you've got sadistic owners. Mm-hmm. I mean, you see movies like Gone with the Wind, let's say, which, don't get me wrong, great book. It's a great movie. But they kind of...
It shows the times, though.
But they put across a feeling that slavery was, hey, it was cool. They're happy. Look, everybody's,
I know. You're
you know,
right.
Everybody's, mm-hmm. You know, we're feeding them. They're mm-hmm. they're playing with our children. And hey, look, they call him Uncle Joe or whatever. I mean, everything's cool. It was all family. Nonsense.
Right.
Nonsense. Mm-hmm. That's the way they want you to believe it. That's
right.
The way they want it to come across. Mm-hmm. You want to see a movie that'll knock you on your ear when it comes to slavery? 12 Years a Slave.
I was just going to say that.
Take a look at that movie. That stuck with me for months.
Mm-hmm.
It stuck with me. You watch that movie. It is shocking.
Yeah.
It'll bring you to tears. It'll really make you sick.
Yeah.
12 Years a Slave was what slavery was all about.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's interesting. The comments that Kanye made, which was a couple years ago, this was back in, I think, May of 2018, because I remember covering this in news, and just everyone was pretty appalled across the board, especially TMZ, who covered that initially. They're the ones who took that interview. And they, in the middle of the interview, some of the people who worked at TMZ stood up and said, I'm sorry, I need to interrupt this.
Yeah.
Do you know what you just said?
Yeah.
I mean, and I think that sometimes exactly what you just said, Tony, is that years and years later, we don't really all understand the magnitude of how big of a deal, you know, it really was, and how long it went on that nobody said anything. I could remember being in second grade. I will never forget this. And we had to reenact during Black History Month. We had to reenact different standout prominent people. I was Frederick Douglass. And I remember that my friend in the script, when I was reading it, it didn't say anything about, you know, how he was treated. And so I went home and I did research and I said Frederick Douglass was treated horribly by his owners, if you want to call it that. And I told my friend to pretend to kick me. I said in class, I said, when we do the presentation, I want you to, you know, like to pretend to kick me. And I remember the teacher saying, no, we can't do stuff like that. And I said, well, she's not really kicking me, but I want to show how this man was treated. No, I don't want you doing that. But why? This is what his life was, how it started. This is how he was treated. And I don't think we're doing any justice to our classmates if we're not showing that. And I just remember being very upset. Now, my mom did stand by me. She called the teacher and said, but does my daughter not make a point that this is how they were treated? And, you know, and of course, they did eventually agree. But it's true. I just think sometimes a lot of people are blindfolded to the truth. And I mean, Kanye West, give me a break, man. What are you talking about? A choice? I mean, that's pretty harsh to
well,
say that.
He should know better. Than anybody,
right?
You know. I mean, he should. I mean, his ancestors were all a part of that.
I mean,
he should know better than anybody. But I got to be honest with you, at the risk of aggravating Kanye West fans, he doesn't come across very articulate.
He definitely misspoke at the White House when he talked about the 13th Amendment with President Trump. He obviously misstepped with TMZ. I don't think he means to be as ignorant as he seemed. I'll even go as far as to say that. But I felt that this was something he got backlash for, and he deserved it.
A look back at the most significant event today in history. Well, according to Tony and Melissa, WICC 600.
Okay, 80 years ago, 1940, the first Social Security check was issued to one Ida Mae Fuller in Vermont. The check was for $22.54.
Yes. Can you imagine?
And I think her Social Security number was 1. I think.
Sure,
yeah,
sure,
it had
right?
To be, right? Yeah, sure.
Right? Oh,
sure.
Now we know.
Yeah, sure. There you go. This, of course, the worst time in American history. 155 years ago in 1865, we finally got it right. The 13th Amendment to the United States Constitution abolished slavery in America. It was ratified on December 6, 1865, and it reads, neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except for a punishment for crime whereof the party shall be duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I mean, it was just a terrible time in American history. And 155 years later, some people still don't get it. Kanye West, of all people, he just didn't understand.
No.
When you hear about slavery for 400 years, for 400 years, that sounds like a choice. Like, you was there for 400 years and it's all of y'all? You know, like, it's like we're mentally in prison. I like the word prison because slavery goes too direct to the idea of blacks. It's like slavery, Holocaust Jews, slavery is blacks.
Oh, Kanye.
Stupid thing to say. And you know what? I mean, to say that it's a choice. You know why those poor people couldn't go anywhere?
Right.
I'm just going to put it simply. Guns, whips, chains, bloodhounds.
That's what was known. I mean, that was the precedent that was set.
Right. Right. And you've got sadistic owners.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you see movies like Gone with the Wind, let's say, which don't get me wrong. Great book. It's a great movie. But they kind of.
It shows the times, though.
But they put across a feeling that slavery was, hey, it was cool. They're happy. Look, everybody's.
Oh, I know. You're right.
Everybody's, mm-hmm. You know, we're feeding them. They're
mm-hmm.
they're playing with our children. And hey, look, they call him Uncle Joe or whatever. I mean, everything's cool. It was all family. Nonsense.
Right.
Nonsense. Mm-hmm. That's the way they want you to believe it. That's
right.
The way they want it to come across.
Mm-hmm.
You want to see a movie that'll knock you on your ear when it comes to slavery? 12 Years a Slave.
I was just going to say that.
Take a look at that movie. That stuck with me for months.
Mm-hmm.
It stuck with me. You watch that movie. It is shocking.
Yeah.
It'll bring you to tears. It'll really make you sick.
Yeah.
12 Years a Slave that's what slavery was all about.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's interesting. The comments that Kanye made, which was a couple years ago, this was back in, I think, May of 2018, because I remember covering this in news, and just everyone was pretty appalled across the board, especially TMZ, who covered that initially. They're the ones who took that interview. And they, in the middle of the interview, some of the people who worked at TMZ stood up and said, I'm sorry, I need to interrupt this.
Yeah.
Do you know what you just said?
Yeah.
I mean, and I think that sometimes exactly what you just said, Tony, is that years and years later, we don't really all understand the magnitude of how big of a deal, you know, it really was, and how long it went on that nobody said anything. I could remember being in second grade. I will never forget this. And we had to reenact during Black History Month. We had to reenact different, you know, different standout prominent people. I was Frederick Douglass.
And I remember that my friend in the script, when I was reading it, it didn't say anything about, you know, how he was treated. And so I went home and I did research and I said, Frederick Douglass was treated horribly by his owners, if you want to call it that. And I told my friend to pretend to kick me. I said in class, I said, when we do the presentation, I want you to, you know, like to pretend to kick me. And I remember the teacher saying, no, we can't do stuff like that. And I said, well, she's not really kicking me, but I want to show how this man was treated. No, I don't want you doing that. But why? This is what his life was, how it started. This is how he was treated. And I don't think we're doing any justice to our classmates if we're not showing that. And I just remember being very upset. Now, my mom did stand by me. Mm. She called the teacher and said, but does my daughter not make a point that this is how they were treated? And, you know, and of course, they did eventually agree. But it's true. I just think sometimes a lot of people are blindfolded to the truth. And I mean, Kanye West, give me a break, man. What are you talking about? A choice? I mean, that's pretty harsh to
say
that.
Well, he should know better than anybody,
right?
You know, I mean, his ancestors were all a part of that.
Exactly.
I mean, he should know better than anybody, but I got to be honest with you, at the risk of aggravating Kanye West fans, he doesn't come across very articulate.
He definitely misspoke at the White House when he talked about the 13th Amendment with President Trump. He obviously misstepped with TMZ. I don't think he means to be as ignorant as he seemed. I'll even go as far as to say that. But I felt that this was something he got backlash for, and he deserved it.
They thought everything was going to work out, and then it really didn't. Bad decisions. Tony and Melissa in the morning. WICC 600.
All right. Is this a genius modern parenting tactic?
I don't know. Let's hear it.
Or just a way to turn kids into lifelong hypochondriacs? There's a woman who recently posted a story on Facebook about how she got her young son to start taking baths. She says she hated them, so she took a photo of him sleeping and photoshopped three cockroaches onto his body.
Ooh.
Now, she shared the picture on Facebook and didn't exactly do masterful Photoshop work, but hey, it was good enough to fool the kid into what appears to be a 3 or 4 year old kid into taking his bath. The bomb says that after he saw the picture, quote, now he's taking a bath 10 times a day. Okay, now, was it a good idea or did she create a basket case? I got my mom on the phone here right
Mrs.
now.
Mrs. Rena.
Now, Mom, I don't know if you remember this, but do you remember when we were kids, my sister and I, we would fight like cats and dogs. I was maybe 5. She was probably 3. And yes. you would come into the room and you would say, all right, that's enough. Starting tomorrow, both of you pack your bags. You're going to the orphanage.
Yes, Mom.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And we were so stupid. We used to fall for that like 3 times a month.
Of course you did.
Okay, but we never ended up at the orphanage.
Mm-hmm.
And
no.
I would lose my mind. My sister, who had a little bit more confidence than I did, she would cry a little bit, and then she would just go to bed and forget about it. But I would be up all night worrying about it. Now, do you remember all that anguish? Now,
yes.
Do you remember Daddy coming home and him saying, Mommy's going to send us to the orphanage, and him going, I don't listen to her. We're not sending anybody to the orphanage. Do you remember that?
Yes.
All right, so, Mom, here's the question. Where did you come up with that idea? Because I think I might use that tactic someday on my toddler.
Michelle. I don't know. It was just something I think that came out of nowhere. You just suddenly say, okay, that's it. I don't want you around here anymore. We're going to send you off to the orphanage. That was the thing at the time, you know, but.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Well, it wasn't awesome at the time.
Of course. I mean, so here's what we did. Well, we did. I didn't do anything. My mother did this when we were growing up, was my mom would always put the call on herself. So I'm one of 5 kids. So if we couldn't get along and my dad was at work, my mom would actually pretend to call the cops and she'd have herself arrested. She'd say, I'm obviously doing a horrible job as a mother. And obviously you need to come pick me up and I need to go to jail because my kids can't get along. And we would cry. Oh, it was bad. It was so, so bad. How do you do it? How do you tell your kids, you know, like something like you're going to the orphanage and then you know that they're going to cry? Like, how do you hold your composure? Because you got to be a strong woman to do that.
Well, when you've had those 2 kids, you have to be.
All right. Very good, Mom. Thank you very, very much.
Oh, you're very welcome, Michelle. Nice meeting you.
Nice to meet you, too. You're so sweet.
All right. She called you Michelle. It's Melissa, Mom.